And I believe the Holy Spirit is with us. Well, we've talked about many things about the Holy Spirit, but we haven't talked about his power. And that's what we come to now, because it's only with the Holy Spirit's power that we can be proper witnesses to Jesus. Jesus did what he did through the anointing of the Spirit. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He's quoting Isaiah chapter 61. And it reads, it's like a manifesto at the beginning of his ministry, and it reads like total liberation. Everything coming right. That's what happens when the kingdom of God comes. Everything starts coming right. And it's good news for everyone. Jesus could only do this because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. That means, my friends, that we can only be witnesses to Jesus if the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. It's the power of the kingdom of God. And it says about Jesus, for example, the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And for this to be true of us, Jesus anoints or baptizes us with Holy Spirit. John the Baptist promised this. John came baptizing. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to John. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the River Jordan. And this was his message: "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit." And some versions say, "and fire." Matthew and Luke say, "and fire." Mark just has Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist sums up the ministry of Jesus. John was the forerunner, paving the way for Jesus. And he says, "Well, I've baptized in water for repentance and forgiveness of sins, but Jesus will baptize you in Holy Spirit." And it means he will plunge you or immerse you into Holy Spirit. The word baptize can also be used for ships sinking. It's not just a few drops on the forehead, it's a plunging. Jesus wants us to be soaked in Holy Spirit, taken over by Holy Spirit, and only then can we do his work. And after his resurrection, Jesus reminds his followers of what John the Baptist promised. While Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And it's because they were such witnesses that we are Christians today, to the ends of the earth. But the Spirit is a promised gift from God the Father. We can't earn it. They were told to wait for the promise. But it's power to be Christ's witnesses. We cannot do his works. We witness to Jesus, not just with the words we say, but by doing the same works. "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you," Jesus said. we carry on the ministry of Jesus, and we have to have the same power that was with him to heal. The same power has to be with us to do his works. So we need to be baptized in Holy Spirit. How many of you have told somebody recently that Jesus is alive and here with us? Not very many of you. We need power. When the power comes upon the Church of God, the people of England will know that Jesus is amongst us. And it won't happen until the church is like the Jesus in the Bible. We have to pray for that. It's the power of new creation. We're witnesses to the resurrection, not only in words, but also in the works we do. The apostles did what Jesus did. The resurrection of Jesus has brought in a completely new order. New creation is where the spiritual realm all around us interacts with the earthly realm. The resurrection of Jesus was the most powerful example of that, when the Spirit of God raised Jesus' body from death. That's what happens when the power of the heavenly realm interacts with the earthly realm. That's what prayer for healing is all about. And it's signs and wonders. The Bible doesn't use the word miracle as if it ought not to happen. When the heavenly realm is all around us, signs and wonders are normal. Because the kingdom of God is here, and signs and wonders are normal in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the new Moses. Moses went up Mount Sinai and returned with the law. Jesus went up to heaven and his Spirit returned. And so we now live not by the law, but by the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death and condemnation. But too many Christians are living still by law and not by the Spirit. But in a way, it's unsafe to live by the Spirit because we can't tie it down to things we have to obey and do. But we've got to learn to move with the Spirit of God, the wind of God. But it's much more fun. Unbelief prevents this spiritual power. And even with Jesus, it says in St. Mark chapter 6 that Jesus couldn't do many mighty works in his hometown Nazareth because of their unbelief. Except it says he healed a few sick people. Well, that'd be good enough for me. But it's such an encouragement to me that the power of Jesus was dampened down by the unbelief of his hometown. And my friends, we live in a society that is full of unbelief. If you go to Kenya, people get healed more easily because they believe in the power of God, as they do in a lot of countries. But here, there's massive unbelief, and that has to be changed by the church becoming more full of the works of Jesus. Jesus sends us to carry on his work. I've already said this. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the coming of the Holy Spirit, his anointing, is a real experience. But we receive it by faith. But it's the beginning of heaven in us. And we become more confident that God is in us and we can do Jesus' works. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the works that I do. And greater works will he do because I'm going to the Father. Now that is not an exaggeration. I confess to you that some years ago, I thought some of the promises in St. John's Gospel were a bit optimistic. I repented of that. I will not disbelieve what Jesus says. I may not have it all yet, And Hebrews 11 is a chapter that tells us about waiting for the promised gifts. We greet them from afar, although they haven't yet fully come. So we greet the power of the Holy Spirit and the works of Jesus, even though they haven't fully come. We don't cast doubt on them. I've repented of that. The Holy Spirit gives gifts for us to do the works of Jesus today. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first through the Lord and attested to us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles, translation probably says works of power, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. We'll look at that a bit more in the third talk. But we desperately need God to confirm the message with signs. People in England will not return to faith until they see the signs of God. It won't come through academic argument. They need to see God. The Holy Spirit is the power that drives God's mission. In fact, Luke has written his two volumes to show that the Jesus who was here on earth now does the same work from heaven through his Holy Spirit. In fact, these two books, Acts and the Gospel and Acts, can be called the works of the Holy Spirit through Jesus on earth and the works of the Holy Spirit through Jesus from heaven. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. But it begins, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began, note the word began, to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. On earth was when Jesus began to do and teach things. Now he continues from heaven through his Holy Spirit. We read in Luke chapter 1 to 4 that the Spirit drove Jesus' ministry on earth. Luke chapters 1 to 4 are full of references to the Spirit. And now it's the same with the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 1 says, wait for the Spirit to come. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And then the day of Pentecost comes. It's the start of the church's mission, and it's a fulfillment of what Jesus had promised. The Spirit came like a violent wind with a lot of noise. What seemed to be like tongues of fire rested on the head. They're probably angels, because Psalm 104 verse 4 says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. Angels as fire, maybe. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a powerful experience. By the way, the Holy Spirit is like wind, usually gentle, but sometimes overwhelming and powerful. And we have to learn to like the Holy Spirit, even when people fall down. Sometimes there's disorder when the Holy Spirit comes. Usually not. They spoke languages that they didn't know, but these were understood by the visitors. So Peter says, it's the fulfillment of Joel saying, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Prophecy is when people understand a message from God. Speaking in tongues is when they don't understand. That's why we shouldn't do it in public without interpretation. But in this case, the languages were understood. So it was both tongues and prophecy. And they were telling what great things God has done. That's what the words were. They looked like drunk people. There was some kind of bodily shaking. It was a powerful outpouring of the Spirit. Peter says, what you're seeing is God. Not drunkenness, God. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And Peter goes on to say, Christ Jesus has been exalted to the Father's right hand. Christ Jesus has poured out from heaven what you see and hear. This is coming from heaven with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and it's powerful. So know with certainty that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, what shall we do? The Spirit came so powerfully that they realized that they had crucified God's Messiah. And when the Spirit comes powerfully today, people are convicted of what they've done wrong. And that's happening, for example, at Feldenbrennan. Have many of you read The Grace Outpouring? Well, it's well worth reading. It's a community in West Wales near Fishguard where Roy Godwin went, and people started coming, and he felt led to pray for the people who came to bless them. I bless you to know God's will for your life. Yes, I can't remember exactly, and it's not in my notes. But anyway, the Spirit fell on them, and then they would start confessing their sins. And one of their mottos in Feldenbrennan is grace first. Not conviction of sin, not pointing out sin first. Grace first, the power of God first, which opens up people to say, I need repentance. Peter says, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, as John the Baptist baptized, and you will receive now the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. Power for everyone who believes. 3,000 people became Christians that day, the day of Pentecost, and they became a community of sharing. People were in awe of them, and they did the same works as Jesus did. They healed a man crippled from birth outside the Gate Beautiful. And Peter insisted that it was by the name of Jesus that he was healed. That's how we do healing, in the name of Jesus. It's his authority and his power. And when they were dragged before the chief priests, because they were using the name of Jesus, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that they'd been with Jesus. They had a large prayer meeting for the apostles in prison. They asked the Lord to give them boldness in their preaching. They asked God to stretch out his miraculous hand and do signs and wonders through the name of his holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Jack Hayford, who wrote the chorus Majesty that we used to sing, describes this in a wonderful book, something to do with the impossible. Again, it's not in my notes. Jack Hayford says this is, the opening chapters of Acts are pure power working holy havoc. It was disruptive. Now, God isn't always like that, but we're just a bit too placid, I think. We need more of God. How do we grow into this power? How do we receive the promised Spirit to be witnesses to Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us to ask for the Spirit and to seek him. Is there anyone? He says, ask and you will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. In other words, persist. Ask, seek, knock. And then he says, is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake? Of course not. If you then who are evil, bad, sinners, if you who are sinners know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And there's a double how much more here. God the Father is how much more better than any human father, even the best human father. God is better because he's a perfect heavenly father. And the Holy Spirit is better than any other gift. How much more? How much more will the perfect Father in heaven give the perfect gift to those who ask him? It's a wonderful promise. My children are still asking me for things. They are 53, 54, I think. That's right. 54, 52, 50, and 47. And they're still asking for help with new windows, help with an extension, a new boiler. But I just love sharing what we've got with them. How much better does the Heavenly Father love to give you and me his very best gift, the Holy Spirit? You know, when I first started seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had the Holy Spirit as a Christian, but I'd never been taught that I could expect to be soaked in Holy Spirit. And so my Christian life was much more about obedience than it was about the power of the Spirit. And when I started seeking the power of the Spirit, I prayed hoping that I would receive the Spirit. And sometimes I even knelt down and opened my mouth hoping that I would speak in tongues. And nothing happened. Until I read a book by R.A. Torrey saying how to receive the baptism in Holy Spirit. And he said, Jesus promised that when you open the door of your heart, he would come in. And I've led people to Christ through the passage about Jesus knocking at the door. And then you say to them, well, how do you know he's come? Because he promised. You may not feel different straight away, but you believe the promise that Jesus will come in. And this book said it's just the same with the Holy Spirit. How do you know the Holy Spirit's come when you ask? Because he promised. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And it was as if an enormous penny dropped in me. And I thought, of course. I'd been praying, that hoping that something would happen, many times. But for the first time, I asked, believed, and said thank you. And nothing dramatic happened except that I felt right with God in a way that I hadn't done for some time. I just felt deeply right with God. And then in due course, I came into gifts of the Spirit, and I'll tell you about that this afternoon. But there's all the difference in the world between hoping something will happen and believing. Because Jesus has promised. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So we've all been made to live filled with the Spirit of God. This is not a deluxe extra like a sunroof on a special car. This is normal. I baptize you with water, said John the Baptist. He will baptize you in Holy Spirit. This is the Christian life. God created humanity. And then exciting things happened. Why is this power not more evident in our churches? Because we don't teach it. And therefore, we don't expect it, as I didn't, as a teenager. We're more comfortable with keeping our religion cerebral, believing the word, and that's important, but keeping it safe. With the wind of God, you never know what's going to happen. But God will not be domesticated. Okay, we're going to get baptized in Holy Spirit.
Are you ready? Would you like to stand up? How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He has promised, we're going to ask, you will receive, some of you will experience something, some of you may not, it doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Any of your team, Phil, can go around and just bless what God is doing. It's just a way of saying, of agreeing with God, really. I bless you. Maybe waving a hand at you, it doesn't matter. But they will just bless. But some of you, anyway, will experience the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. It's fun. Jesus, thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you tell us to persevere and ask and seek and knock. But you promise those who ask will receive. So here we are, and we say to you, Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, pour out his presence on us. Pour out your Holy Spirit. We ask to be baptized in Holy Spirit. Thank you. Now just wait and say thank you in your heart. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just keep believing and receiving. Oh, Lord. More of your power, Lord. More of your power. Thank you. We want to be your witnesses, Jesus. We must have your power. Thank you. Touch the person next to you very lightly on the head and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Just very lightly. Keep in the presence of the God. Just very lightly, receive the Holy Spirit. God has allowed us to depend on one another, and the power of God comes to the body of Christ together. So, just receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your imagination, imagine yourself drinking from God's fountain, just drinking in. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as like rivers. Just if you think imaginatively, imagine yourself drinking the water of life, the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we seek your presence. Thank you, Lord. Phil, just go around and bless people. Your team can do the same, just blessing what God is doing. When we agree with God, he does more. When we thank him, he does more. Just bless what God is doing. We're taking our time over this, because this is like breath or wind. It's real power, but invisible. And it benefits from time. Time. Pray for the person next to you. Ask them whether they have any healing need or any particular need. Lay a hand on their head or their shoulder if they're willing. I like to be prayed for with a hand on my head. I think it's a good receiver. Some people prefer the shoulder. Do this as a pair, so that you do it one way and then you do it the other way. Just one person sharing the need and the other putting a hand on them and just saying, Holy Spirit, come to heal.